I have a confession to make. I'm not using our fancy equipment. I'm just using the headpiece on my thing.
On what thing?
On my earphones.
Oh.
It's kind of
easier.
Why would
you do that?
I got free hands now.
Yeah, but, like, I paid $100 for that stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, this... Man, that was a good opportunity for a joke, and I just blew it. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 23rd, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, and joining me is Adge Guy.
Hello.
Say hi, Adge Guy, even though you already
did. Hey, Mike Source.
Hey, how's it going? You're in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I'm in Youngstown. We've got a late night recording session going here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be good times. We got a lot of news because we had two conventions this week, Gamescom and BlizzCon. BlizzCon's still ongoing. I don't know if there's going to be much more news coming out of it, though.
The only thing I would maybe conceive coming from would be like the announcement that the StarCraft II beta starts on Monday or something crazy like that.
Oh, man. All right, so we got that. Then we'll do the Great American Ask Guy gaming quiz. Then we got Let's Go Topical. Five more questions for us to mull over. Then we'll hit up our week in gaming. Then the new releases, and that'll be the show. So why don't we just get right into it?
Okay, so at GamesCon, probably the biggest news of the convention came from Sony, when they shocked the world with the announcement of the PS3 Slim.
There it is, huh?
Yeah. I mean, this is good. We can finally stop seeing, like, you know, rumor tag, Sony might be unveiling PS Slim, leaked pictures from China, and all this crap that's been clogging the news for, like, 4 months.
So, wait, I didn't look back at those old leaked pictures. Was it the right thing?
Yeah, it was.
That's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, when a Taiwanese law firm sends a cease and desist to Kotaku, it kind of validates it right there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there. So what do you think of it?
Well, here's the details on it. It comes with a 120-gigabyte hard drive. It has the OS install option is removed, so all the Linux fanboys out there are probably going to cry. And they've replaced, like, those weird touch-sensitive buttons with, like, actual buttons.
Oh, good. I hate those touch-sensitive buttons.
I don't mind them.
They're
the
dumb.
Whole thing comes
They're
in a
unnecessary.
Yeah, it comes in a $299 package.
Reasonably priced, I guess.
Yeah, it competes almost directly with the new Elite SKU pricing.
Yeah,
360.
We finally brought it back down to the PS2 launch price.
Yeah. The thing is, though, I don't know. I look at this thing, and quite frankly, I mean, like someone did a picture where they put a Dreamcast on top of it. It's still pretty big.
Well, I mean, they still have to get a PS3 in there.
Well, the biggest reason why it's so big is the power supply is still internal. I don't know why they didn't do it like the PS2 Slim, where that's external and you take all that bulk out.
Well, let's be honest. The reasoning, the whole point behind this is not to make a smaller PS3. It's to rebrand the PS3.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, Tycho is saying on Penny Arcade, it's kind of a confession that they've borked the system and this is a desperate attempt to, you know, do something with it.
Right, like, this is obviously
No one was
bit...
demanding a slimmer PS3. They wanted a cheaper one.
Right, it's not like, this isn't the right time for their normal slim stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But PS1, PS2 had theirs, like, pretty much when the systems were done.
Yeah, that's very true.
This is now. We're still in the heat of things here. And I mean, I don't know exactly how it's going to work out for them. We'll see. It's very much like the PSP Go, really. They're just rebranding their old console. Getting rid of the Spider-Man font and all that junk.
Yeah, thank God. That was stupid.
That was dumb.
We don't want our console to have an identity. We want to rape our once good,
movie franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, it kind of came out with, you know, some fanfare. I mean, it's hard for, it's hard to say if consumers who were hesitant to get a PS3 before are suddenly going to be all over this.
I mean, right, but maybe they'll be all over the new price drops for the old PS3 hardware. So the 160 gig SKU, this is getting confusing, that I think still comes with Uncharted, is going to be $399. The old 80 gig SKUs are going to be $299. So you can pay $299 for the old, outdated hardware with the smaller hard drive, or $299 for the new, smaller hardware with the bigger hard drive.
Are those effective now?
I don't know if they said.
Because I wonder if those are effective now, and if that one will get dropped again when, like, the Slim actually comes out.
I don't see, how, like, if they were going to drop it with the Slim, I mean, the thing comes out in a week.
Oh, is it really coming out that soon? I didn't really realize it.
Yeah, in fact, GameStop supposedly might be even getting it a little sooner if you pre-order it right away.
Oh, jeez.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about the Slim a little bit more in Let's Go Topical, so we can move on now.
Okay, well, let's go to the PSP Go information. First of all, they announced the new line of PSP Mini games. I don't want to call them applications. But this is kind of their attempt at competing with games on iPhone, where you're going to have, like, Field Runners and things of that, like, for a dollar.
That's interesting.
Just to go with the more download-friendly nature of the PSP Go. So people were making this headline sound like it was universal, but in fact it's only for Europe, where if you get a PSP Go and register it between October 1st, its launch, and October 10th, you'd get Gran Turismo free. If that was the case in America, that's kind of attractive, but it's just a European offer.
Right.
They need to do something to plus this system, aside from just giving you the system and a cable. There needs to be more to it than that for $250. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Well, what game would you put with it?
Do something like a 2-pack of Loco Roco 2 and Rolando 2, or even the first ones, or
Rolando
something.
Rolando 2?
Or not Rolando, I mean, Patapon.
Yeah, that might not be bad. Loco Roco would be a good kind of bundle.
Yeah, especially because that game, you could kind of play it with the system closed, even. That would actually show off some of the capability of the system well.
Right.
They still don't know what they're doing as far as UMD trade-ins go. You think they'd figure that out. The damn thing comes out in 2 months. Not even, a month and a half. Less than that. Okay, this thing comes out tomorrow, and they don't know what the hell they're doing.
When's it coming out?
October 1st.
Oh, jeez.
I know, they should really figure that out, because, I mean, like I said, it just doesn't make sense. They admit they're targeting early adopters. Well, your early adopters are the ones who already have, like, 20 UMDs. They're not going to want to not be able to play all their games all of a sudden.
Right, exactly.
They need to do something. Well, of course, now you have GameStop saying that they welcome the incoming flux of used UMDs.
Oh, I bet
they do.
And, of
course, you know, they're going to laugh to the freaking bank. Sony needs to do something, or else they're going to miss out on all this.
I'm glad I'm just going to get a 3,000.
Yeah.
So my Dissidia bundle.
So let's see what else we got.
I'm not taking part in the PSP Go experiment.
Let's see.
Fable?
No. We got the PS3 firmware.
Oh, yeah. What was I thinking?
PS3 firmware 3.0. This is supposed to be... It's a 3.0. It's a new number. It's supposed to be...
Yeah? Well, wow me, then. Dazzle me.
Okay. We have animated avatars. Not like home avatars, but like the gamer pics you get. There's going to be premium ones.
Oh, thank God.
Let's see. They've improved the friends list. They have PSP Store shortcuts, dynamic themes. The exciting thing is that movies you buy on your PS3 can go into the PSP and vice versa now, finally, which I think they talked about like a year ago.
Okay.
I just understand, like premium avatars was a friggin' headline, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Big friggin' deal!
Avatars aren't even for much of anything on
especially on PlayStation.
Yeah.
But speaking of your PlayStation Home avatar, Home is finally getting in-game in-home game launching.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That wasn't there? I thought that was the whole point of Home.
Well, certain games had to support it, but now it's going to be a universal feature. But from the way it sounds, though, if the game still doesn't just outright support it, it's literally like just from in-home. If someone invites me to play like the original MotorStorm, I can accept it. It'll prompt me to put in the MotorStorm disc, and it just starts MotorStorm. It won't like group us together automatically. That still has to be specifically coded.
Yeah.
And then, just as a final kick in the pants, Sony has gone out of their way to promise that backwards compatibility with the PS2 is never coming. Because a lot of people were hoping that would be part of the PS3 Slim.
Good for them to be honest.
I guess.
I got my 60GB PS3. I got all the backwards compatibility. Yeah, hardware one, too.
All right.
See, everyone that's... should have gone while the getting was good.
I guess so.
No one thought that those models would be, you know, done in 6 months.
Yeah, if they would have told us that, maybe they would have sold better at first.
Yeah, limited time.
Okay, you brought it up. Let's go to it. Fable. First of all, Fable 3 announced with another teaser trailer that shows a crown. Anyone who plays the Look Into the Future DLC will not be surprised.
I was kind of surprised that this is happening already. I thought Peter Molyneux would... I don't know. He sounds so ambitious. You think he would be all about different projects instead of just kind of going back to
that
his
one. That is
kind of
true. Instead of going back to the Fable well.
Like, he tries to make himself out to be such an artist. But, you know, he just makes sequels to Fable.
That's kind of true.
But talk about
maybe he'll get it right this time.
Well, he doesn't get it wrong, necessarily. I was telling you this before. The thing with Peter Molyneux is he always talks about his games like there's going to be something you can't even imagine. And then they always kind of just turn out to be a video game. Like, it's never anything you've never experienced before. Name one thing in Fable 2 that you had never seen in a video game before.
I mean, the dog was decent. That was kind of
cool. That was
in
Fallout 1.
Touche.
He played... I mean... And I'm not, I'm not trying to bring him down or anything, but that's just the point. It's not... When I play Fable 2, I think this is fun. I don't think, whoa, holy shit, this is like crazy
The world
shit.
Has changed.
Right. Exactly. But go ahead. What are the details on Fable 3?
I don't really have much else outside of that. They showed, a launch announcement trailer, and, you know, they're working on it.
Yeah, so you're a king. I think he's saying, there's going to be a... It sounds like a part of the game will be, you overthrowing the old government, and then you become a king.
No. It's because there is no monarchy in the game anymore. That was the whole beginning of Fable 2, remember?
Well, right. I don't know. I don't follow the Fable lore all that well.
You're not a fan of Albion?
Oh, I mean, it's okay, I guess. this is 50 or 60 years after Fable 2, so there'll be slightly more industrialization going around.
Yeah, I'm sure. Something crazy like that.
And then they also said something about that Fable chapters or whatever.
Yeah, well, Fable 2 is going to be released as episodic downloadable game on the Xbox. So
there's so many conflicting reports in this when it first happened. One of the sites was saying that that this was essentially new content at first and confusing everybody.
They're just going to release the game as downloadable in chunks, and the first chunk's going to be free. It'll work with existing Fable 2 save files and DLC. I don't understand why they don't just release it as a games on demand.
Yeah.
It seems very unnecessary.
Isn't this kind of proof that his game is not open world if you can release it in chapters?
I mean, I don't think he's trying to pretend it's open world anymore like he was saying Fable 1 was going to be.
I guess, but... Yeah. This kind of shows how linear the game is, though. I mean, I guess I can see where the chapters are broken. There's that introductory chapter, then you get those three different people, and then, the final chapter? I guess?
And then you're in that tower, and then the final bit. And...
Right. I forget a lot about Fable 2.
Me.
All right.
Persona 3 Portable has been revealed in Famitsu.
So, it looks like there's a new character you can play as. It seems to me like they're just kind of going the Pokemon route, and you can play the game as a female character instead of a male if you want to.
Yeah, but isn't this game really dependent on, social links? Wouldn't that actually change everything pretty significantly?
They'd have to rewrite some dialogue. There's not a whole lot of... I mean, you would just have to change some of the romantic social links a bit, I guess.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's not as much of that as you would think. Actually, so... I mean, not that I saw. I think a lot of that's probably later in the game. I don't think that would be too hard to change a bit.
Okay.
I don't know why they're doing this before... I mean, they did Persona 1, and they seem to be skipping 2.
You think it's 1, 2, 5, 3, so 3!
Right, exactly.
Okay, so they're talking about Little Big Planet on the PSP. One thing that had to get cut from the game was multiplayer. Apparently it's because with the physics rendering from the PS3, which is fully intact, it cannot be done with more than one person.
Wait, I thought that was the whole point.
Apparently
one of the whole
not.
Points. Oh.
So you'll still get all the play share create stuff, just the play part's a little reduced.
I mean, it still works well, like, surprisingly well as a single-player platforming game.
Yeah.
But it seems like, fine. I'm surprised like, they didn't find a workaround. I don't know, I'm sure it'll be okay. That's a bit of a bummer, though.
Right. They've also announced the sign-ups for the beta for Little Big Planet Water.
They have to have a beta?
Well, they want to make sure the water works.
Don't you just play test for something like that?
I don't know.
I never heard of a beta
I think, honestly, it's a publicity stunt to get some interest back in the game. Because let's face it, that game is not as big as everyone thought it was going to be.
Well, I think it's as big as they probably should have hoped it could be.
Yeah,
on a system with a limited install base.
I mean, unless they thought that Little Big Planet was going to significantly boost PS3 sales and be a system seller. Which maybe they did, I don't know.
I think they did. But, you know.
I still think, correct me if I'm wrong, but the only game we ever really saw strong evidence of a correlation between software sales and PS3 sales was Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yeah.
That's the only one I can remember, anyways. So people, hey, you guys can all mock that game as much as you want. Legitimate system seller.
Yeah, that's very true. Let's see, Final Fantasy 13 on the 360, they say they're aiming for 3 DVDs.
Are people shocked by this?
I hope not. Hey, Lost Odyssey is like 4.
Yeah, so, you know, that works out. Hey, I played those 4-disc PlayStation 1 games, it's not that big a deal.
It really isn't.
I mean, you swap some discs, as long as it doesn't cost more. Like, that used to be the concern, it's like, oh, these are going to cost more now. Well, now it's not, because DVDs are cheap as hell, so who cares?
Right. They also said that, like, the English voice recording is done, the 360 version is, like, 70% complete, they're debugging it, the game's on track. It's set for a spring 2010 release.
Is it kind of weird now how this game might come out, like, in America before, like, Bioshock 2 and all these other games we thought were, like, shoo-ins for 2009?
Yeah. And then, speaking of that, that got delayed even further now. I mean, who's surprised by that? I get more and more worried about that game. I just think the fact that there's like 4 developers working on it is like
okay, but
it's just unsettling.
But that's the way 2K works. It wasn't all that different a situation for the first Bioshock, really. If you don't look at it, there's plenty of people working on that game. I think Bioshock 2 is fine. I think it's going to suffer a Metroid Prime 2 sort of thing. I think in the long run, Bioshock 2 isn't going to be as big a deal as Bioshock 1 was. No, I think it'll be fun. I think people will like it. I'm sure plenty of people will be like, oh, well, this isn't, you know, Irrational Games or 2K Boston didn't really make this one, but it's okay. I'm so excited.
Right. Let's see, we got some talk about Rage also and its disc use in the 360, where they might just break the game up to like a single player disc and a multiplayer disc, which I say that's fine.
Rage, this is id's new thing, right?
Yeah, this game. I don't know how I feel about this. It looks like
it's
gonna be
fun for about it.
Okay, go ahead.
What the fuck?
What do you mean?
Like they're making a new IP and they're making it look like the same shit they always do.
Well, this is
what's the fucking point?
I think from a gameplay point of view, it could be fun. It's just that they need to hire some friggin' character artist. Their player model and NPC designs are terrible.
What engine is this game using?
This is their brand new id Tech 5.
Okay, good, because freaking Wolfenstein uses the Doom 3 engine. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Doom 3 engine.
I think the game could be cool. I mean, I guess we'll just have to see how it pans out.
Also,
I'm far more interested in, like, Borderlands, which kind of looks like a similar thing.
And how about, yet another super generic FPS title, Rage.
Yeah, they really need to... Yeah.
Come on.
It is not a creative... I mean, they're a technology company. Who don't license their technology anymore as much as they used to.
Yeah,
it's kind of strange, too.
They thrived a lot more back when there were far less demands on, like, things like narrative.
Well, John Carmack, too, like, he said the reason they don't license stuff as much is because they're just too small to provide, like, the hardcore tech support you need. Now, what I hope is now that they're owned by Bethesda is, like, other Bethesda publish and own things will use their technology. So can you imagine, like, because id Tech 5 is being built as... something to render outdoor environments, because they admit that was something they never did very well.
Oblivion so, says hi, yeah.
Yeah, like Oblivion or Fallout 4 on id Tech 5 would be pretty cool, I think.
Speaking of Elder Scrolls, there was a whole debacle with a...
Someone got misquoted about saying there's not going to be an Elder Scrolls 5. And
of course there is.
Yeah, duh, come on. It's Bethesda. It's what they make.
Yeah, they're gonna go back and forth between Elder Scrolls and Fallout for the rest of time now.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That's all right.
That's fine. I'm happy with that. So Grin, when they shut down, they were talking about they were sad that they never got to show the world their unfinished masterpiece. Well, it looks like that might have been an unannounced Final Fantasy game, particularly a Final Fantasy XII spinoff of sorts. We got some artwork from the game leaked out.
Yeah, here's my comment on that. Pass. No.
Why do you hate?
Look, you know, I don't want to, you know, kick Grin while they're down or, you know, dead. But, I wasn't dying to see the Bionic Commandos guys take on Final Fantasy. That's just not something I think the world needed.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, Final Fantasy's big problem right now is probably still kind of
just releasing a damn game.
No, Final Fantasy still has a problem with voice acting, and I felt like Bionic Commando had some of the worst voice acting I heard in a long time.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Don't give me, you know, there's a curiosity there. I don't know if it's a $60 curiosity.
Right.
What if it really was a Final Fantasy 12 spinoff, though? I hadn't heard that before.
As people were just surmising that based on the architecture of all the artwork and
well,
everything.
Couldn't that just mean it's another game set in that world?
Vanadil.
I think Vanadil is a Final Fantasy 11.
Oh, shit.
It's like with an I. Ivalice,
yeah.
There we go.
Good, there we go. Okay, good.
Where's Final Fantasy 14 set? Is that Vanadil also?
No, it's something that, I mean, it looks just like Vanadil. There's like little dudes, but they're not Teru, they're something else. There's these big guys, they're not whatever they were called, they're something else. I mean, it is and it isn't.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, they've been showing a lot of stuff about that now. It's kind of weird to see, like, Final Fantasy 14 almost more complete than 13.
Yeah, I am kind of surprised we're seeing gameplay footage already, apparently.
I still don't understand how they talk about there's, like, you know, there's no experience points in this game. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? They're like, well, the more you use your sword, you know, there's no experience points, there's no leveling. So the more you use your sword, you'll get better at the sword as you use it. And I'm like, okay, so it sounds like you get these points for using your swords, and you get better level with it.
It seems like when you become more experienced with something, you're assigned a point value.
I mean, and it's nothing new. This is what Dungeon Siege did. Oblivion does.
Seriously, Final Fantasy 2, that was their system.
Yeah.
I don't know. Final Fantasy 4... Final Fantasy XI was pretty much terrible. I'm gonna go.
Well,
they seem
to concede that game was far too grindy and hard. I mean, I think they're trying to make this like more soloable and a little bit more casual friendly. Maybe they'll learn from WoW rather than EverQuest 1.
Japanese developers don't seem to get online games.
No,
like,
they really
any
don't.
Facet.
They
of
just
them.
Don't. I mean, look at the mess that is Metal Gear Online. That could have been really cool.
Right.
Then you had the Konami ID system, first of all.
And it is fun to play, but like I just don't ever want to do it.
Yeah, it's just nothing I want to bother with.
Right. Like, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. Go ahead. Move on.
Okay. So we know that Guitar Hero World Tour DLC is going to work in Guitar Hero 5. Just you need to like re-download it. But Guitar Hero 5 DLC won't work back in the World Tour because of all the stuff they've added. So it's kind of a way to force upgrades. Although they make it sound like they're going to try to make sure that Guitar Hero 5 DLC is compatible with all future titles. So that's good.
I don't know. This doesn't shock me all that much.
Yeah, I don't really
Besides,
care.
Besides, Guitar Hero 5 actually looks like it will probably be pretty good.
Yeah. So we have another leak about the whole Xbox 360 Elite Price Drop Pro going away thing. This time a Walmart ad. Both this and the Meijer ad show the date August 30th for this drop to happen, so, you know, probably next week you'll have $299 Elites. The thing that sucks, though, is these newly packaged Elites have neither the HDMI cable nor the component cable.
Yeah, that's lame.
You still get a headset.
How much do you want to bet Sony's going to ship some sort of chart that shows you, like, what comes in a PS3 Slim versus what comes in a 360
well,
Elite?
Well, the big difference is the PS3, I'm sure they'll say, you know, Blu-ray, and you get wireless built in.
And HDMI cable.
No, you don't get an HDMI cable with
a PS3. Component cable, then?
No, you don't. You get a composite cable with PS3s. You always have.
Oh, never mind, then.
Yeah. So, you know, the 360, you get a headset. True. I'm sure they're also making a big deal that they have Netflix, which, you know, kind of is a big deal.
I guess. I don't want to travel down this road anymore.
What I wonder, though, is if the $299 price, if it's still good on elites that are in the channel, because those do have everything. So, like, you know, if you could snap up one of those real quick.
Right. That's pretty lame that they're not giving away the cables anymore.
Well, you know, in these troubling economic times.
See, look at that. Look, see that? Come on, you just... If this was Sony, you'd be all over them. Is Xbox like, oh, it's...
No, I said, the way I wrote this down is 360 fail, elite with no cables. I'm not happy about it. I think it's dumb.
Well, don't defend them then.
You know what's even dumber? And this I am pissed off about. The price of a Pro in Europe is going up.
Oh, I saw that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, because they're blaming like the euro and pound to dollar conversion ratios. You know, fuck you. You can't raise prices right now. You can't. That is just a surefire way to piss people off.
I feel like European gamers need to boycott now. They just gotta...
They just need to boycott gaming. Be like, listen, we're sick of you guys dicking us over. Pete, lead the revolution, man. Come on.
Just import everything. Even if it costs even more. Just stick it to them.
Seriously.
Can't cost much more.
Computer monitor. I don't understand why that is. It's just... Oh, that pisses me off. I hate it.
I guess I would be more pissed off if I was, you know, living there.
Yeah, that's true. See, I'm not even there and I'm angry about it. God.
Just calm down. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's go to BlizzCon, which is why we're doing our show a week, a little late this week. And let's start it off right with WoW Cataclysm. The rumors were true.
Our other giant announcement was kind of blown the lid off way early.
Yep, so it is confirmed. You have the Worgen and the Goblins as playable races. The old world is getting torn asunder.
Oh, man.
By Deathwing of the, you know, the dragon guy. He's gonna erupt from the core of the earth. They're doing new, class race combinations. So, like, humans can be hunters and Torn can be paladin. It's gonna be crazy.
Level cap is going, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty
level cap is going to 85. Flying mounts will be enabled in the old world, though they haven't decided yet if it's going to be all of it or just parts of it. There's a new secondary profession called archaeology that ties into something called Path of the Titans, where you can pick... It's kind of almost like picking a deity, I think, where you kind of work towards one of the paths of one of the old Titan gods by digging up all these archaeological artifacts, and you get various like glyphs and things like that that boost your character. Let's see, am I forgetting anything important?
There's specific dungeons and things like that.
Yeah, and they're re-upping some classic raids and stuff. Like, Onyxia is going to be like a new 10/25 man raid for 85s. I'm sure will have people very excited.
It seems to me like this and the level, you said level capped 85.
Yeah, and there's a guild leveling system now too, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it seems to me like this expansion, like, it's not following the model of, Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, where it's just, well, here's a new landmass, level caps raid. Rise, and everyone kind of go here and do it.
I think what's really great about this is it's for the first time, it's something for everybody. Like, even new players, like, everything's changed. Like, I know, like, for the Horde, Ashara has been changed to a new low-level zone, and it connects to Orgrimmar, things like that.
Yeah, it seems like just, in general, they're kind of revamping a lot of the older content to kind of modernize it a bit.
Yeah, they're going to use, like, that new terrain phasing system from Wrath of the Lich King to have, like, content across the board that's on caliber with, like, the Death Knight starting area.
Mm-hmm.
The new Goblin and Worgen starting area, they said are going to be very much like the Death Knight starting area, so that's good. And, I mean, it's also nice, too, because with all these new character class combinations, you're going to have a lot of people wanting to make new characters, and it's not going to be that same old boring just grind through the old world like it's been for so long.
Right. Now, I think they're specifically doing that because they want a lot of people to roll a new character and to see all of the new content.
It actually kind of sucks because, my account got hacked and I've been trying to get everything put back together, but right now my characters are still stripped of their items and one of them's been deleted, which I'm not happy about. And so, like, I still have, like, 2 days left on the 30 days that whoever hacked my account bought. But it's like, well, I don't want to make a new character now because this is coming out, and I can't play my old characters because they're pretty much useless. So, all right, bye, free game time.
Well, he'll have that.
Yep. They also announced today, too, they're putting in, like, cross-server pickup groups for instances.
Hmm.
So, like, just a way to help you find pugs more quickly, I guess.
I am a little disappointed there's not a new hero class.
Well, something that they said is just, like, I mean, you saw what an effect that Death Knight kind of had on everything, and, you know, with everything else going on, they didn't want to throw off the balance of the game, I guess.
I guess. It just seems silly to me there's only one.
I just, what's silly to me is how half of the Barons is now going to become high-level content.
Oh, right.
That's just great.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, there is a lot of new content now for... But now how is this going to be phased in with people who don't own Cataclysm?
What's, oh, all the, like, basically you just won't get access to the races, the new combinations, and the level cap. So you'll be able to play this new content, you know, for free if you want to make new characters in just the base products.
You know what I'm excited about?
What's that?
The CG intro. We're gonna finally see a CG goblin.
Oh yeah, let's hope.
Or maybe a CG gnome finally. They did troll. They're still terrified to do gnome. I can't imagine what a gnome or goblin would look because like. There is a disparity between their art style for their CG stuff and, like, the game. It's hard to picture those two existing that. What do you think about the races? We talked about it a bit last week when I think this was all still rumored.
The goblins are obvious, but, you know, I think that's cool. Some of their racial talents are kind of cool. Like, it ties into their kind of whole, inventor slash merchant thing. Mm-hmm. Like, the one, it's just, like, they automatically get the best deal on everything regardless of faction.
Oh, that's cool.
From vendors, they get they have like one racial talent's like rocket pack where they can engage like a little rocket pack they have to fly out of danger real quick.
That's pretty cool. I kind of want to make a goblin now.
And another thing, it's like a little belt loaded missile launcher that's like a one time like a you know like a hourly cooldown kind of oh shit button.
Huh.
The worgen get like resistances like disease and stuff. I think they could do like a kind of long distance sprint sort of thing.
Is it? Can they morph? Go back and forth between two forms?
No, the whole lore is, you know, they're humans who were turned into worgen when, I guess, humans try to use, like, existing worgen to battle the Scourge, and then something happened, and then they start turning into worgen, which is why they're Alliance.
Right. I guess, like, the starting, where their starting areas, or at least something, like, the door for this place has been in the game since day one.
Yeah, and we're also going to get into Mount Hyjal, finally.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's yeah. It's kind of funny how many like places are in. There was actually a video on Game Trailers that was just kind of showing all the places in like the mainlands in World of Warcraft which haven't been like opened up yet.
Yeah, I think we get to go into the Maelstrom too now.
Really, I think I heard there's gonna be an underground sea.
Yeah, but... yeah. Like they're gonna like completely rework the way like underwater gameplay works for this.
Right, but I don't know if it's in the Maelstrom. I feel like the Maelstrom itself and there's a whole Naga city down there. I'm pretty sure they're gonna, like, that will be an expansion someday. Everything down there. Cause then, the Ashera, who used to be the leaders of, the Night Elves, is, like, in charge of that. She'll be a big, you know, boss thing.
Yeah.
She could be, like, an Illidan or Arthas type character. So, I think, there'll probably be one called Maelstrom or something like that. Prediction, next one opens up the Maelstrom a bit. I think they're kind of leading the way with that for the one underwater city they're gonna have. Also, maybe Naga. Will finally be a race at some point. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to be coming soon. It's just that they're hard to work because, like, they can't wear boots.
They can't wear boots. Yeah. I don't
or
know.
Pants.
Yeah. But, I mean, it always looks a little different than what you think. Like, these worgen, they obviously look a little better than the ones that you were killing out in the field. Just like how
right.
The Draenei looked better than, like, you know, the lost ones that used to walk around some of the areas in the game.
Right, that is true. So I'm sure there'll be, like, Naga with feet.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come up with something. There has to be some sort of lore for them joining whatever set.
They could do whatever the fuck they
want. Right, that's what people don't understand.
Like, this isn't Star Wars.
Right.
It's like, you know, we can't have, like, someone who's force neutral. That doesn't exist. Although,
Yeah, now you say that. It's pretty interesting. All right.
Yeah.
All right. What else you want to talk about?
Let's see. I think that does it for Warcraft. Let's move on to Diablo. So the big reveal is the fourth playable class, the Monk, a sort of, you know, melee weapon expert who still can use weapons, too. They seem to be, like, the kind of DPS class.
Right. Did you see, like, the trailer for it, for the class?
No, I actually haven't yet.
It's cool, but the problem with these trailers is they kind of go very close up on models that weren't meant to be seen close up.
Right.
And you're kind of like, this doesn't look great. But, you know, that's what the problem is. It's just too close for these models.
Yeah. The big disappointment
is... It's a cool class, though.
Yeah. The big disappointment is that no Diablo 3 in 2010.
Yeah, that kind of shocked me. I remember earlier this year...
Did you honestly think we were going to get three Blizzard games from all three properties in the same year?
I guess not. I guess my hope was that Diablo 3 was coming first.
Yeah.
I mean, I think earlier I was talking about, like, before the year began, about how I was being hopeful that Diablo 3 would come out at the end of 2009.
It'll be a spring 2011 release.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, but if I'll tell you what, if Blizzard has any room left in a calendar year, they're going to push for it. They don't do spring. Well, I guess they did for Wrath, just because it got delayed, right? Or was that Burning Crusade?
Burning Crusade, and then Wrath, they just... I think they decided that time worked for them.
Yeah. Well, there you go then. Never mind. Expansions is good for spring, then.
Yeah. And StarCraft.
What's your StarCraft news?
Just not much, but there's some stuff. They've talked about how they're going to have paid DLC in Battle.net for the game... Both from Blizzard and, like, fans making content, if they want to, can charge for it now, I guess.
So wait, you're making, do they get money? Like,
yeah. It's almost like an app store for StarCraft.
Okay. I don't know about that.
They made it sound like you gotta do something pretty good for it to be pay. Like, right, even something so. Like Defense of the Ancients wouldn't be pay because it uses so much original content from Warcraft 3, where you'd have to almost do, like, new campaign or something.
Wait, you're saying something like Defense of the Ancients wouldn't be pay?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting, because that's one, like, the biggest things. What would be above Defense of the Ancients?
They say it's because that reuses so much, like, maps and art assets and everything, I guess. I don't know. This was all very vague.
I thought that was a... I don't get it. Whatever.
They also have announced that there is going to be a sort of LAN play in all of the Battle.net 2.0 games. The catch is... You have to log into Battle.net to authenticate first, and then you can play on a LAN.
Okay.
So, I mean, really, this is just... I mean, you remember how we used to do Warcraft LAN parties, because you only needed one copy of the game, so like 10 people played on one copy. Right. This is a way to ensure that all 10 of those people have their own copy.
Okay. Oh, well.
And one thing I read in an article at 1UP that was an interview with some of the guys that I thought was really cool, is how they're willing... To, if there's something that's completely overpowered in multiplayer that, like, just doesn't work, like, we heard they cut the fire bats from the game because they're just way too powerful. They're in single player because they don't care. They just want you to have a good experience in single player. So they said, like, creating multiplayer is like creating a new version of chess, whereas the single player is just creating a really exciting experience.
That's kind of
a cool philosophy setup, I thought.
I guess it kind of ruins a bit of the aspect of playing through the single player to learn the game, though.
That is true. I'm sure we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's what I got. Anything I missed that you want to talk about?
I don't think so. That was a lot of news.
Yep.
That works for me. All right, Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz.
Wait, don't we do Let's Go Topical first?
Yeah, let's do this first.
Oh, no.
This is all... These are all Exploding Barrel-themed questions, because we're getting ever closer to that 100th episode.
I'm very excited.
Yep. So, here we go. Hope you can remember back into our past. Question first. Show number 4 was dedicated to a specific console. Which?
I'm going to say... I promise I'm not cheating. I'm going to say the Sega Saturn.
Oh, the Dreamcast.
Oh, that makes sense, because that would have been probably a 9909, or whatever year it was show.
That's 2007, yep.
I just wasn't thinking.
Like I said, promise you weren't cheating, but like you're going to blow my mind or something with the correct answer.
No, I'm sure you were going to call me out on it or something at some point.
Don't cheat. All right, question 2. In September 2007, you made 4 different posts about the same game. What game was it?
Halo 3?
No, Team Fortress 2.
Oh, fucking hell. My memory's awful.
Question 3. On October 10, 2007, you wrote a post about a game soundtrack that was available on iTunes. Name it.
October 10, 2007. Soundtrack.
You were listening to clips of it on iTunes, and you wrote a post about how you thought it was pretty good.
Shit.
You wrote it.
I know.
these, like, blog-style posts on the site anymore.
I know, we kind of gave up on that. Fucking hell, what would I have been listening to? The Mass Effect?
Lair.
Oh, shit!
Oh, man. Okay, I think you might be able to get this one.
Oh, good.
In November 2007, I wrote a bunch of haiku. What were they all about?
Mario?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, question 5. What big new release were we talking about on show number 13, which came out on November 19th, 2007?
November 19th, 2007. Assassin's Creed.
Super Mario Galaxy.
Damn it, I was thinking that, then I was like, no, wait, I don't know if that came out, that's...
All big Nintendo releases come out in November, especially, yeah, like, November 19th. Alright, bonus question. I think you have 1 point so far.
Yeah.
A rather large scandal in gaming happened around the time of our 15th show. What was it?
Oh, is this Gerstmann-gate?
This is Gerstmann-gate.
Yeah!
Hard to believe, it feels like Gerstmann-gate was, like, longer than that, even.
Yeah.
That was so long ago. GameSpot's still around, though, so I guess they...
Yeah, they didn't fold under, and Gershman's doing okay with Giant Bomb and everything.
Right. You know what I noticed about GameSpot, though? They don't... For some reason, they seem to, like, not be able to post their game reviews as quickly as everyone else.
Yeah, they are a little late to the party often.
I wonder if that's, like, a desire from them, like, to, like, kind of avoid some of their order policies that got them these exclusive reviews.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, I don't ever see them get exclusive reviews anymore. It's always IGN or Game Informer now. All right. So let's go topical. We got five topics here we can just kind of go over until we're done with them.
Okay.
All right. So here's our first topic. Some gamers are protesting Orson Scott Card's involvement in Shadow Complex by refusing to buy the game. Card is a very outspoken person against gay rights, claiming so much as homosexuals should not have equal rights. Do you feel that these protesters are overreacting or justified?
I didn't know that about Orson Scott Card. I knew he had something to do with Shadow Complex, although from what I've played, it's not anything particularly mind-blowing.
Right. I didn't know this about Orson Scott Card either. And, I mean, I've been reading his books pretty recently, and I've been enjoying his work. I didn't know that he's very outspoken.
He's a big homophobe, huh? No, I mean, you know what? I mean, I think it's a great game. We'll talk about it later. But if you know, I'd actually say if you believe in, you know, like that this guy's a big fat bigot, which it sounds like he is, and that bothers you, then sure, you have every right to not buy it. With your dollars.
See, I kind of agree with you, and I feel like a lot of people in the game community, it's kind of their... We kind of had the reaction of, oh, stop complaining.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You hear about, like, 100,000 plus signed petition for land play and StarCraft, and that's, like, big news. That's actually an issue that matters. When someone who worked on a game is, you know, hates gays.
Yeah.
I feel like you're allowed to complain about that. I'll give you that.
And his reason, you know, it is a religious thing with him, at least. He's a part of the All Saints Church or something, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and he has some specific quotes I probably could have pulled up, but it's about what you think. He just doesn't think it's right. He thinks it's okay for gays to join the church if they're seeking to purge that from them, but it's not good for them.
It's a sickness. Right. They caught the gay.
Yeah, exactly.
I say go for it. I, you know, wish them well with that.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for them that they're missing out on Shadow Complex.
That is true. It is a good game.
But, I mean, you know, that's the way, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I don't like this, but I'm not going to not buy the game. But a lot of these people aren't gay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously I don't feel that strongly about it. I'm still playing the game. I don't know if I'm going to...
Like I said, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be buying any more. I don't know. See, it's always an interesting question. It's always hard when you have to separate the artist
from the product.
Right. Especially
when something like Shadow... It's not like he made the game.
Right. Shadow Complex, I can't imagine his involvement was very strong. And yeah, I'm surprised this didn't come out before, because, well, he was involved with Advent Rising, I remember, but no one sees...
Yeah, this is the same company.
Right.
It's the same guys.
And he is a good author, and his stuff is good. I mean, I just read Ender's Game and Speaker for the Dead. And I can kind of see now where some of this is coming from. But,
that scene where they were just shooting gay people didn't tip you off?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's actually kind of funny because there's some gay overtones to Ender's Game specifically. I mean, maybe
he's a, as one of my old college friends would say, he's a repressed homosexual who's trying to fight it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I always liked him though as an author. I don't know though. Like I said, I wouldn't react this way, but I think people who do, they're justified. They can do whatever they want.
Word.
All right then, next topic. With the Monk revealed as the latest Diablo 3 class, how many more classes are you expecting to be announced for the game, and which ones specifically do you really expect? Do you think, I think it's safe to say, if you don't mind me jumping in first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's safe to say we're going to see more than five now.
I feel like there needs to be at least two more. We still need kind of like our paladin kind of buffer, debuffer class. And we still need
a bow and arrow
a range.
Class.
Yeah, a range class.
And it just seems to me like this class, I mean, you can't, like when I first saw Monk, I first saw the headline, like, okay, is this basically the new paladin? And then when it wasn't, I'm like, well, okay, well, there's got to be more than five now. It sounds like there's some trace of the assassin from the Diablo 2 expansion.
Yeah, yeah, like the way one of his, it's called like Exploding Palm. It's like the first two hits lead to the third hit, which does the most damage.
Right. So yeah, I'm still at least expecting a paladin style buffing class and the range. The range class has got to come. I feel like they're kind of holding off on that announcement because it won't be very exciting. Like right. Here's the bow and arrow class
that you're all expecting.
Right. You know, they probably should have just brought that out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And I expect at least one more. I'm
expecting
seven. Well,
they still got like a year and a half for this game to tease it.
Honestly.
So.
Yeah. I'm expecting
control
at least seven,
the message.
Though. Would you agree? Seven?
Yeah, I'll go seven. They could surprise us one more. I mean, my God, if they got that this much time to work. Because I tell you, this game is not coming out because they need that much time to work on it.
You think?
It's because they don't want two games out in the same year. Why would they do that?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, Cataclysm and StarCraft are going to be huge. Let them spread the wealth.
Okay, next up. Would the PS3 Slim be a turning point for PS3 sales?
No. You know what? You'll see a spike, as you always do when new hardware comes out. There will be some interest in it. You're going to get a lot of idiots who are going to buy their second PS3. Which I don't understand why you would at all. There's nothing new about it. Maybe they want another Blu-ray player or a media server, and this is like a good reason for them. So you might see like a first month spike, but ultimately, it's going to be business as usual. We're going to see the same numbers churned out, same gaps between the 360 and PS3. This is not going to save Sony. Like I said, it's not like anyone has ever been saying, oh, the system's ugly. It's the fact that it was $300, $400. And still, I mean, yeah, you could say that this is on par with the Elite now, and they're pretty much going toe-to-toe. But don't forget, the 360 also has a $200 option. This is the cheapest PS3.
Yeah, I guess so. But you think maybe now that this price cut or new model is being tied with a relatively strong holiday software lineup for them, that might help?
I say that, but
I'm having a hard time thinking of what their big exclusives are besides Uncharted 2.
You have Uncharted, you'll have the new Ratchet and Clank.
You'll have Mag, right, I think? Is that coming out?
No one cares about
Mag.
Well,
I'm assuming someone
might.
I think
so different to that game.
It kind of seems that way, doesn't it? But they'll have, you know, a version of Call of Duty.
Here's honestly, I think, what now Sony's biggest hurdle to jump is. So we have, like, a lot of the big games this year are going to be multi-platform, you know, particularly Call of Duty. But now, like, with more 360s in the channel, if you're buying new hardware, you're going to get what your friends have so you can play with them, which odds, like, just mathematically speaking, odds are it's going to be a 360. It's kind of like an exponential growth sort of thing. Because, oh, God, it was on last week's Listen Up, I think. I think they might have been talking about Call of Duty, and they were asking, I don't know what game it was, but they were asking each other what system they're going to get it on. And Garnet was saying he's going to get it on the PS3 because that's where all his friends are. Or that's like where everyone's going to be playing it. And even the guys on the show are like, what? Like, no. Everyone has 360s.
I'm surprised he would say that. Just about, yeah. But I never heard of it. Heard the argument kind of brought up that way, but it sort of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, God knows, any kind of cross-platform game, We've always got on 360 for the multiplayer. That that's where we got Street Fighter 4. That's where we got, like, that's why you got Blast Blue.
Well, the thing that saves them is when they get this exclusive content, like with Soul Calibur 4, Darth Vader, and like with this upcoming Batman game.
Batman, which I'm probably going to get on PS3. But I mean, like, look, you got Blast Blue on 360, and then you have Beige, who seemed like the way he was talking before, he would have rather gotten it on PS3, but you already had it on 360, he wanted to play with you, so that's the one he got.
Yeah, I mean, that it does come down to that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I wonder when we're going to hear about the PlayStation 4.
November and December is going to tell a lot.
The media circus that's going to surround that is going to be just unbelievable. Because they'll, you know, people will get in their face about the 10-year cycle. And yeah, I can tell you right now, they'll just be like, well, we're just, you know, we're still supporting the PS3. The 10-year cycle is still on, guys.
Yeah,
sure. Whatever.
See,
but what would the PS4 be? Because, like, they don't. See, but people say that. And people are saying we're expecting a PS4 announcement soon because they have to move on. But what can it be? Because an advancement in hardware is not what they need.
Expensive.
Yeah,
I know. That's not the problem.
And at this point, like, they can't launch a new system. Like, the best they can do is this kind of semi-rebranding with the PS3.
Here's a question I have to you, too. How important do you think Blu-ray movies really are? Do you think there's a lot of people buying the $30 version of I Love You, Man when they could get the $15 version?
I don't think for a lot of people, no. For me, I do.
But even like, I won't buy I Love You, Man on Blu-ray. I did buy Watchmen on Blu-ray. Because, you know, but like, you know, I almost think when you go to people and say, okay, here's your deal. You can buy your movies on Blu-ray, $30 a pop. Or you can do digital rentals on both systems, okay? But on the 360, if you have a Netflix account, which let's face it, a lot of people do, for no additional charge, just your Xbox Live Gold account, which you're going to probably want to get anyway, stream all these movies.
Just
as many as you want.
You can argue maybe that Blu-ray isn't that big a thing. I don't think it's less significant than Netflix.
I'd say they're almost on par with each other, though.
I would almost guarantee more people are watching Blu-rays on their PS3 than watching Netflix movies.
You think?
I would think. Because there's a certain amount of tech savvy to setting up the Netflix thing. Not much, but just enough where, and if there's a little bit involved in anything, where a lot of people can't do it.
You know what else I wonder, too? I wonder how big the whole Facebook and Twitter integration of the 360 is going to be.
I'm sorry, yeah, you jumped out for a second. The whole what?
I said, I wonder how big the Facebook and Twitter integration 360 is going to end up being.
I bet that's not going to be that big a deal.
Well, it depends how it works. We really don't know yet. But I think if it's something like, imagine, like, remember when Geometry 2 Wars was all the rage between everybody and we were all racing for high scores? Imagine if it showed up on your Facebook homepage that, you know, Angry Jedi has beat your score in Geometry Wars King's mode. Then boom, you're going right to your 360, you know?
Yeah.
Or if that's coming to your Twitter feed. It's moving more towards that, like, almost like that Live Anywhere stuff they were talking. But instead of trying to do it themselves, they're now just leveraging existing services. I think it's really smart if it works that, like what I just said. Now, if it's just like you could take some screenshots and put them on Facebook, it's kind of cool, but big deal.
Right. And, I mean, if it's just like, here's Facebook, and it's on your 360, well, that's not compelling because you can just go on your computer and go on Facebook. Facebook on a phone works because then it's on the go. There's no reason.
Well, another cool thing would be to look at pictures on a TV. That could be neat for people,
I guess.
See, but now this goes back to something you said before. Like launching a PS4 is not going to do them any good. What can they do? I almost think they need to do some kind of NXE-style reboot of the core system. But they're not going to, because they're freaking in love with the cross-media bar. They think it's the greatest thing ever. And I, like, just last week, I had a couple friends over for dinner, and my friend was here with his fiance, and we were talking, you know, video games and stuff. And I said to her, because I know he has a PS3 and a 360, and she's used them both. And I was streaming some music. I had the PS3 on, so I was streaming music through it while we were talking. And I said, Katie, can you, like, have you used this? Can you, like, if I told you from where I am on this screen right now to go launch a video file I have downloaded on here, can you do it? And she knew exactly what I was talking about. She had no idea how to do it. It's because it's like everything's buried 3-4 layers deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't imagine them changing that or at least simplifying it.
But they should. I really feel like they should, but they won't.
All right, you ready for the next talking
yeah.
point.
Yeah, well, that was an in-depth conversation.
Yeah, surprised that one went as far as it did. let's go topical. It's more of a success than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Very simple idea. I don't know why it took us to like show 92 to say let's just have talking points.
Yeah.
What are we gonna do for an extra segment? Quick, go through every year ever, and we'll make a giant list. And we'll say which ones are our favorite. Look at every game! You realize I had to read through the name of every game made in the past 20-some years?
That's very true.
To do that stupid thing? Why did I mean, it was good. Thank God. You know, this was much easier. I did this in 5 minutes. What the hell?
It's the Spore model of game creation. You create the tools, and I create the content.
Oh my god.
Speaking of, real quick aside, have you heard about this Mr. T game that Zootfly is making?
What's this now?
They're making a Mr. T game that I guess is based on some Mr. T comic that's out there. In this world, like, Mr. T is fighting Nazis who have kidnapped Will Wright, who's not only a world-renowned game designer, but also one of the top geneticists in the world. So you rescue Will Wright, then he becomes, like, your command officer or something.
Oh, man.
I know.
Is this like a real game?
Yeah, Zootfly's making it. The guys who like were trying to make Ghostbusters. Remember them?
What, these guys didn't make Ghostbusters?
No. Remember they like kind of like released their own like test footage of a Ghostbusters game they wanted to make.
Really? Because that test footage, I remember that test footage looking a lot like the Ghostbusters game I played.
Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways. Here's our next talking point. There's a bunch of game delays. 2009 games delayed to 2010. People have been kind of talking about it a lot. Which one hurts you the most? Which one are you the most disappointed in? Maybe not expecting the least. Like, maybe you saw it coming, but still you wish this game was coming out this year.
Let me think. I don't know. Like, just rattle off some of the bigger delays to me to get my memory jogging here.
Well, there's Bioshock 2.
Yeah.
Shit, I can't remember any of them. There was a bunch, though, weren't there?
Oh, there is a ton of them. It's just...
Yeah, why can't I recall now?
I just...
This talking point's failing on this.
I really don't care about a lot of these delays. And the reason is, there's still a shit ton of games coming out the next 4 months. I'm never going to be able to get them all. And so the fact that I'm almost glad stuff got delayed. Because God knows, I haven't bought a new retail game disc all summer. I'm going to buy Batman this week. That's going to be like the first game I buy, in, like, except for Wii Sports Resort. But
StarCraft 2 is the other big one.
Yeah, you know, that might be the one.
Bayonetta.
Oh,
Splatterhouse.
You know what? Bayonetta pisses me off.
Bayonetta does. Bayonetta's
lame. You know why Bayonetta pisses me off? It's Tomb Raider all over again. You take a mediocre game design idea, and let's face it, I don't care what you say, Tomb Raider 1 was not that great a game. It had some okay ideas, but it was not good. The reason people gave a shit about it is because the main character was an attractive female. And this is all, like, every headline you read about Bayonetta is, like, talking about her ass. It's like, you know what? You guys are friggin' idiots. You're gonna buy this game so you could stare at a 3D model. Just go to Google and type ass. You'll get pictures, I promise. Like, it's gonna be Devil May Cry 4 with a female. And people are pretty ambivalent to that game. I don't know what you think is gonna be the great saving grace of this game, aside from the fact that you play as Bayonetta.
Remember when people were excited for Heavenly Sword? That didn't pan out. Here's another one. Dark Void got delayed to 2010.
You know what? That might be it. Yeah, I'm still looking forward to that game just because it's the Crimson Skies guy. Although, that game's at least benefiting from its delay because they're adding features. They've added a hover mechanic to the game now, in addition to just, like, straight-up flying.
Okay. Yeah, I guess for me, I'll still say Bioshock 2.
No, it comes down to this theory I've been kind of cooking up where I almost hate to say it because what I say implies that a lot of people would have to lose their jobs, which sucks. But the game industry got too big too fast, and it needs to shrink. It really... No, think about this real quick. How many movies do you really go see in a theater per year? Maybe 12. There are 12 games coming out, like, the month of November alone that I'm sure most people would want to buy. But let's face it, especially because it's not a $10 movie ticket. It's a $60 product that's going to take you anywhere from 8 to 40 hours to get through. There's just too many games. And you wonder why like look at Grin. You wonder why they didn't make it. You know, if it comes down to me playing Bionic Commando or playing, you know, like
Fallout 3.
I'm trying to think what came out around that time. Yeah, well, like, okay, let's just say Fallout 3. I'm going with Fallout. You know, God forbid, like, someone try to release a new shooter IP the same day that, you know, Halo ODST comes out.
I remember people who were releasing new shooter IPs when Halo 3 was coming out.
Yeah, and they're, like, shocked that, like, their games didn't sell. Well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be making games. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's just there's too much.
I think it's okay for making games. I think that these people who aren't Bethesda, they're not Bungie, they're not Nintendo, they need to be a lot more creative than they are sometimes. They can't just make another first-person shooter. They can't just make Bayonetta.
The Downloadable Games channel is the place for them to be. They should be making small...
I don't want to say that they're not allowed to make real... I don't want to say real games, but...
You're allowed, but I'm just saying, like... Don't be surprised if your company gets shut down. I mean, it sounds harsh. I realize this, but let's face it. There's too many big games coming out that cost too much money to make, and we can't keep this up. No one can play all these games. I don't know what consumer you're targeting.
It is. I do agree that the price of making games is ridiculous, and just how many people have to be involved in making one game. Like, I feel like. Maybe this generation maybe came too fast. Maybe we weren't quite ready. I think we were ready for some of the features. I think we were ready for, like, Xbox Live and stuff like that. Here's the problem. Because the games, when you make a game like Fallout 3, that costs a lot of money, and you just can't compete with that.
Right.
If you're somebody else.
But here's what I'm saying. Like, most of the former Grin employees have already started a new studio. They already did it once, and it got shut down. What chance do they stand?
How did all those Clover guys do?
They're not doing so hot. None of their games are selling. Suda 51, the poor guy keeps trying to make these games. No one buys them. He keeps making them.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, I guess you might be right, but I may not like it.
I know, it's a kind of a harsh reality to face. I realize it. It's not a popular opinion. Because like I said, I'm saying people need to lose their jobs. It sucks. I realize this. But let's face it. There are too many games. There's just too many. No one could play them all. Now, if these people, instead of trying to make some $300 million, 10, 12-hour long FPS, if they made a $10 downloadable game that was 4 hours long and just put their efforts into that and created like stuff like that, they have a much better chance of reaching an audience.
It might be worth mentioning now that Grin's one big hit was Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Yeah, exactly. You just proved my point. That is exactly it. Their big budget game flopped. Their movie tie-ins flopped. But they make a $15 downloadable game, and people went nuts for it.
You might be right. But, I mean, I think the market's... They figure these things out themselves, and I mean that's if there's too many games out there.
I think that's part of it. You know, to an extent, it's true. The economy is killing a lot of game developers right now, but I think part of this is just the market balancing itself out. There's too much product in the channel that people aren't consuming.
All right, why don't we move on?
All right, well,
I don't know how we got
off topic,
yeah, it was about game delays. Okay, last topic: Wolfenstein came out. Do you care?
Yes and no. Again, it's getting decent reviews, and I got a friend who I know is probably playing it right now, because he's...
Well, your friend pays anything that's a World War II shooter.
Yeah, and he's an idiot, but...
Didn't he buy Medal of Honor, like, Airborne on, like, the PC and the Xbox 360?
No, he got it on the PS3 and the 360.
That's even worse.
I know.
That doesn't make sense.
I know. He's an idiot. He's the worst kind of consumer there is. Anyway, it seems like a B-level game. And, like, the reason you can have, like, B-level movies is because, you know, it's something you do in between the big AAA releases. But we get AAA releases in gaming all the time. Am I going to play Wolfenstein? No. Halo 3 ODST comes out in a month. I'm going to wait and play that.
I guess, like, I kind of wish that Wolfenstein, when they made, if they make a Wolfenstein game, I guess I kind of wish they tried harder. Like, I wish they actually
Yeah, this is the thing. I feel like this is just, here's another Wolfenstein. It doesn't feel like a big deal at all.
Right. Like, here it is. There's BJ Blazkowicz killing Nazis again. And what? It uses the Doom 3 engine.
Yeah.
From 2004. Thanks, guys. Wait, was it even 2004? Yeah, it was 2004.
Yeah, it was 2004.
And I mean, I know that's only 5 years, but that was 5 years. You know, video game, that's like De Katana using Quake 2. Alright, that's it for Let's Go Topical then.
Woo!
It's good times, huh?
Indeed.
We got topical, that's for sure. Alright, so,
how are we in gaming? How are you enjoying Shadow Complex?
It's great. So I'm just going to say right off the bat, when you're playing the game, you go into your minimap, there's an option to turn off that blue line that just shows you exactly where to go. Turn it off. You'll like the game a million times more.
I kind of keep it on. I just don't look at it very often, because you can usually figure out where you want to go. But sometimes it's just like, yeah, go over this way. Because you can go... For me, it's not so much like I want to get lost, but I want to be able to choose when I'm going to kind of go back to old areas and get myself lost and just look for items.
I've just been enjoying it with it off. Just, I feel like it's encouraging me to explore more because I don't know where I'm going. And I feel like ultimately it's going to make the game a bit longer because it seems like everyone's beating this really fast.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, these games are always kind of, they're not huge games.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I love the idea that someone just finally said, here's a game that's like Super Metroid. And people say, oh, it's in the Metroidvania style, they could just say Metroid, because it has a lot more in common with 2D Metroid games than Symphony of the Night.
Well, and like the developers themselves said, they're like, well, no one else was doing this, we didn't understand why, so we're like, okay, we'll do it.
Right, and, you know, it does add something to the table, because there's a lot more to the gunplay, because you have to aim with your right stick, you can aim to background objects, which is really interesting.
I like that, I think that's cool.
It is cool. I will say, here's... I wish that... I mean, it's so obvious that everyone in the game industry has Uncharted envy.
Oh, well, let's see. We have a main character with a half-tuck, voiced by Nolan North again.
I mean, you could tell me, if you call that character Nathan Drake, this could be an Uncharted prequel.
It really could be. Like, Sony probably should have been paying attention to this.
Like, seriously. And, I mean, people... Like, you know, Nolan North's great, but... Come on, he's Nathan Drake, guys.
He is but a man, alright?
No, but I mean, like, I don't want him to be other video game characters.
Yeah,
he's
it's like
a new platformer game, and here's Mario's voice coming out of him. Like,
Well, you have a point.
And, you know, and I mean, he was in Assassin's Creed. He was the guy from Prince of Persia. I mean, look, guys, I know you're all very impressed with his work. We all were. The answer is not to just hire the one guy, though. I'm sure there's someone else who can do a good job of voice acting. And he does a good job. My complaint is not with him, but we're kind of stretching
him a
little
bit. Branch
out
a bit, people.
Right, exactly.
Or even at least ask him to do a different voice.
Right.
Which I'm sure he can do.
But, I mean, yeah, no, the game is a lot of fun. I read there was a 1UP review. I don't want to say it was negative because they gave it a B, but the whole point of the review is just saying this is almost exactly like Super Metroid, and they're kind of criticizing the game a bit for that. And it's a lot like Super Metroid, but I think it's different enough. Like, they're claiming the only thing different about it was, like, the sort of, like, moments where you had to kind of get cover. They didn't, like, you know, I think just the gunplay itself being different makes things interesting for me.
Well, it's far more shootery than Metroid.
Right, exactly.
There's really not that much gunplay in Metroid.
No, there isn't. I don't think the boss encounters are as exciting as Super Metroid's.
Let's see, there was the.
They're okay.
They're
mostly just giant robot spiders, but there's not. It's nothing like, you know, Ridley and what's the big one?
Cryad or something?
No, Kraid.
Kraid.
I think it's okay. Kraid. I think. Yeah. You know, we're talking. He was on the box for Super Metroid.
Yeah, because, you know, they have to be a little more grounded in reality. They can't have a giant monster that shoots hands out of its stomach.
But, yeah. But, you know.
Real quick, too, I like how they just kind of like, yeah, when you fall, you don't take damage. We have no real
reason
for that.
Yeah, they were.
It's a video game.
And I'm glad that is there. I'm glad you don't take damage from falling. Yeah. That would just be annoying to say the least. But I mean, you know, it's cool to have this experience kind of again.
Oh, no, I'm, sort of I mean, this game for $15 is, I mean, like I said, not too long ago, this would have been a $60 game.
Yeah, really.
Do you think it would have done as well as a $60 game? Hell no.
No. Well, is it doing well? We don't really know yet. I'm assuming.
No,
well,
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now that the whole kind of Summer of Arcade thing has happened, do you have a standout favorite?
Honestly, it's probably kind of between Shadow Complex and Splosion Man.
The two bookends.
Which is the game that was the furthest off my radar of any of them. Splosion Man, I think, is fantastic. And plus, yeah, I'm impressed on how much everybody seems to like Trials.
Trials is fun.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Trials is good times. I'm at that expert difficulty now, and I finally got to a level where it's just like, it told me, like, I only had 200 redos left, and I had 10 minutes left. Like, I was just stuck for so long that I finally gave up. But, and Trials was fun, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised. If they put it on the Summer of Arcade thing, it was probably going to be at least, you know, decent.
Right.
Did you play Episode 2 of Tales of Monkey Island?
Yeah, I think I'm about halfway through it. I'll probably finish it
yet?
This weekend. No, well, I haven't had time yet today.
I think it's great. I think it's just as good, if not better, than Episode 1.
It's phenomenal.
I've only seen one actual review from it. It was Joystick, and they were a little... I think they went sixes, which I thought was a little low for it. I don't see what was wrong with it.
Like, the opening is brilliant.
Right.
And what I like best about it... What I like best about this game, there's a lot of CMI references.
There are. In this episode specifically, there are a ton of CMI references. Even probably more than I think you've heard.
I think the writing in it is phenomenal.
It is surprisingly good.
You know, all the voice acting, like, not only is it good, but, like, they've got comedic timing down pretty good in this, I felt.
Yeah, they do, actually.
Which is something that a lot of games don't pay attention to. But this nails it.
I'm rather fond of the reoccurring pirate parrot joke.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. I think the Destructoid review specifically pointed that out as something that was bad about the game. I wanted to tell him to shut up.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Telltale. They're really pulling this off. Right. I'm a fan.
I thought Spinner K was actually a pretty interesting looking locale.
Yeah, and the music that plays when you get there is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But no, the whole episode is really good, actually. So.
Yes.
You'll enjoy that. Did you play anything else?
Let's see. So you had a brief encounter with it, but I've kind of gotten into EVE Online.
I'm not going to talk about EVE Online that much, because I was literally stressed out just trying to play the game.
Well, I had the advantage where I had George kind of helping me out, you know, directly in the beginning. I tried to give you the chat log, and I feel like you maybe just got overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
But, they've completely from the last time I played it, so since this Apocrypha expansion, or whatever it's called, came out, they've redone all the way tutorials work, where it used to be like, it was like, okay, sit down for the next 4 hours, and we're going to tell you how everything in this game works, and you have to remember all of it. Where now, it's just kind of more spread out, and things are more contextual, and it's easier to digest. Plus, I had George, who really helped me. He said, like, you know, here's the skills you want to train, here's the ones you don't need to give a shit about, and here's 50 million ISK, so buy these implants and put them on. I'm like, okay. So that, you know, was obviously a huge help.
Oh, he gave you money?
Yeah.
Well, nine, yeah. There you go.
But what I love most about this game is it on my computer, I can max out the settings, and it looks great and plays great.
Is there a lot of customization with your ship? Like its appearance, specifically?
Not that I've discovered. I don't know if there is or not. That would be cool. Although I did just get a new ship, and it's pretty badass. I like it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I've given this game so many false starts, and it's finally clicked with me, where I just completed a mission that was like the end of like an epic story arc, and I had a blast with it. It was really fun. I've always wanted to like this game. I always liked the theory behind it. Like I said, the beginning is so daunting. But just like I said, just having someone who knew what they were doing there to help me made all the difference. So if you have a friend who's playing EVE, have them get you into it, then you'll end up liking it, I would say.
I tried The Witcher.
Yeah, how are you liking that?
Well, first, I want to talk about how my adventure in trying to get the game going at first.
Oh, I know. It's awful.
Well, I start, you know, it would play right away, but then I was like, wait, I don't have the Enhanced Edition downloaded. So I went to go find out how to download it. So I downloaded the Enhanced Edition and a language pack. And the Enhanced Edition kept telling me that I had to install the language pack first, and the language pack kept telling me I had to install the Enhanced Edition first.
So I was stuck there for about 4 hours. I found some other file that I don't know. I don't even know what I did. Someone helped me. I think it was Pete. Pete helped me, and I got it all working. And I was actually kind of surprised by I'm enjoying the game quite a bit. I didn't get too far yet. I'm past all the introductory stuff. I'm kind of in the first chapter in the midst of it. Like, I just kind of went around accepting quests. I haven't really done many of them yet. I did the first half of the introductory stuff with, like, the top-down camera. Then I went over the shoulder later. I think I prefer that. I'm kind of surprised how the game can support both of them. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. This game makes a strong case for buying your games on Steam or Impulse, where it just patches itself.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Are you enjoying your boobs?
Well, I don't have very many. I don't have any yet. The first card you get is censored in both versions, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes, Weak. Actually. Well, it's the first one. It's a gimme. I think you can have sex with her later and then get boobs if you want.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you can feel better
about
that.
Well, something to work for.
Right. But I usually like Western RPGs more when they say, we're not going to let you be anything you want. We're going to let you be this guy. And we're kind of, so that we kind of know what experience you're going to have, and we can design the game around
it. It's a little more directed.
Right.
It works for that.
Yeah, exactly. So you're this guy, and you kind of know what you're doing. You know, it's a little bit more Diablo than Oblivion.
Yeah.
But everything's voice acted, and all the voice acting seems pretty decent. The story, the world seems compelling enough. I'm not too far into it yet, but I think once I beat Shadow Complex, I plan to go further into it.
Good.
But yeah, it looks good, so whatever that enhanced edition. When did this game come out? Originally.
This game came out
in 2007, I think, huh?
Yeah, because it uses the Neverwinter Nights 2 engine, actually.
Oh, that kind of makes sense. I'm glad it's not as ugly as Neverwinter Nights 2, then.
Yeah, they did a lot of enhancement to it. I mean, the game looks great.
Mm-hmm, it does. Alright, then. Anything else you play?
A real quick hit on the iPhone. They brought out Luxor for it, which is like one of those marble blasting kind of games. It's really good. It's like Zuma. I feel like there's one more big thing I wanted to talk about, and I knew I was going to forget it.
Well, we'll see if you remember it later.
Okay.
Tell me the downloadable.
Oh, I know. It's I beat Mothership Zeta.
Oh.
On Fallout.
And you have much more to say about Fallout at this point. I feel like we've been talking about Fallout for a year.
It works. You need to play this, because the end of it, just to kind of tease it, you basically have to play out like an old-school Star Trek-style ship-to-ship battle.
Oh, nice.
That's all I'm going to say. It's awesome.
I have to, at some point, I plan on just going through all of these things. I don't own them, though, and I don't really have a means to buy them. My best hope is whenever I'm at your place to just kind of play them there.
Right. Well, they'll have the Game of the Year edition coming out this fall that has all the DLC included.
I already bought the game. I already bought that special edition for my PC, which is pretty expensive.
Yeah. But, yeah, I want to get my guy to level 30, so I'm just doing, like, a few of the quests I have left that I haven't done yet. And, see, this is the thing. You make fun of me for having never beaten a JRPG. And the fact that
without the name Mario in it.
Yeah. The fact that I put this much time into Fallout and Oblivion tells me that I just ultimately don't like them as far as games go. Because I'm obviously willing to put the time in.
I was disappointed you couldn't play. You didn't get through Lost Odyssey.
Yeah. I keep meaning to someday go back to it. You never know.
I keep meaning to start it, but I'm not going to start any old... I'm not really start very many old games right now.
Right.
On the cusp of just next week alone. God, we have a lot. But speaking of releases, why don't you go?
Wait, quick aside, too, in Fallout. I got that perk you told me about, the one that, like, reveals every location on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize. I thought that it would let me fast travel to all of them. It just shows you them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, big friggin' deal. I'll just go online and look at that. I feel like it was a waste of a perk.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Not my fault.
Fair enough. I mean, I was out of perks to get. I got, like, the Mysterious Stranger, which is awesome, by the way.
Right.
Actually, it was really funny, too, because I got it when I was on the ship. So, like, the way I played it up in my head is there's this, like, guy who was also trapped on the ship, and he just kept showing up and shooting aliens, and now he's back on Earth with me.
That's pretty interesting that he is on the ship. Are you the max level yet?
No, like, I'm level 29. I got one more level to go.
Nice.
But no, like there's actually, like, in the beginning of the thing, you're in, like, a holding cell with another human, and she's talking about how you have to get out. You get a dialogue option that, you know, you'll have things to say, like, science or charisma or whatever. This one said, like, Mysterious Stranger. He's like, don't worry. I have a feeling that a friend of mine might be around to help.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you... Seriously, that...
And she's like, okay, if you say so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty impressive. I wonder if there's stuff cool. like that throughout the game if you got that earlier.
I know, it makes me wonder. Now, well, I do want to go back and play, like, an evil character who's just, like, all heavy weapons and everything. So maybe I'll get that perk sooner so I can play
Don't worry,
it.
I think I have a friend who's going to help. Oh, yeah. Mysterious Stranger. I want like, the Fallout 3 expansion where you play as the Mysterious Stranger and we hear his story.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Like, what's going on with him? What's he all about? All right.
Whenever he shows up, they play this cool, like, little guitar twangy thing and everything. Sure. It's awesome.
All right. What are the downloadable releases?
All right, WiiWare. Great collection of games. Picture Book Games, Pop-Up Pursuit, and Family Slot Car Racing.
All right, keep going if they're just boring. Get through it.
Virtual Console's Revenge of Shinobi. Without Spider-Man.
Whatever. Everyone's, like, upset about that. What do you care?
Yeah. Okay, I need to download this. I kind of forgot. DSi, they brought Guitar Rock Tour. It's like a Game Loft Guitar Hero ripoff, whatever. But they also brought out Brain Age Express Sudoku, which I'm guessing is just the Sudoku part of Brain Age.
That's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I think I have the 500 points still left, so I might get that. Yeah. I like Sudoku. The XBLA, we have Shadow Complex. We also have two new games on demand out, Saints Row and Rockstar Table Tennis.
I forgot about those. I forgot about Rockstar Table Tennis anyways.
Yeah. PlayStation Network. On the PS3, a game called Smash Cars. I actually watched a video of it. It kind of looks like Excite Truck in a lot of ways to me. God bless you.
Thank you. Keep going.
Let's see. On the PSP, they brought Warriors Orochi. And on the PS1 Classics line, Bloody Roar is out.
There's a classic for you.
Yeah. Good Old Games brought The Settlers 2 Gold Edition and Heroes of Might and Magic 2 Gold Edition.
All right.
Remember, okay. Everyone, SquadronShame.com, click on the GOG affiliate link and buy games.
Real releases, Wolfenstein 360 PC and PS3. Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 2 came out for the PC. Spectrobes Origins for the Wii. Metroid Prime Trilogy came out already.
It is out?
This says it came out on August 18th.
Oh, son of a bitch. I want to get Batman, but I feel bad because I want this too, but it's just going to have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, this is going to wait a little bit for me too, even though I desperately want it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're old games.
The bottom
anyway.
Line is, it's games I've played. I'd rather play Batman.
Something called Marker Man Adventures looks specifically a lot like Drawn to Life. Speed Zone for the Wii. My Friend's DS. Shorts, which is based on that bad-looking movie on the DS. And Paws and Claws, Pet Vet for the Wii. You can tell I get less and less excited as I go down.
Yes, the list goes. But, like, who the fuck is buying Paws and Claws, Pet Vet?
Someone must be.
I guess.
I mean, you think about it, there's got to be at least 10,000 people who buy that game.
Yeah.
Even though that's not a lot in certain terms.
According to this Metroid Prime Trilogy ad that's up on 1UP.com, the game comes out tomorrow.
No, maybe they're wrong then. Yeah. That makes more sense. By tomorrow, do you mean Sunday, August 23rd, or Monday?
Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right. It is midnight.
Well,
I'm just talking
more about when this podcast is out.
The 24th, so okay. That's Monday, actually, which means it's probably really Tuesday. Okay, never mind.
Okay, it's coming. Okay, I thought it was more like August 25, because I thought, like, that, Professor Layton, I think Batman and The City are all coming out, like, that day.
Right.
Something ridiculous like that. All right, I guess we're done.
Yeah.
That's pretty long for just us two.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
There's a lot of news. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everyone. You can find more about us at SquadronOfShame.com or at ExplodingBarrel.wordpress.com. You can also follow us at Twitter.com/ExplodingBarrel. You can contact me at Tokoto at SquadronOfShame.com if you want. You never do, but there it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop doing that. That's what people get. Everyone just tweets now. Or just twittering me.
Yeah.
Keep twittering, that's fine. Alright, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Only 2 episodes left to episode 100.
Oh, man.
Alright, see you next time, and have a good day, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
I still need...
Did you say episode 200 or 100?
Well, you know what I meant.
Okay.